Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the cafe. Welcome to the program. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. And it is so good to be here today as we study God's Word. Amen. We're going deeper here into God's Word. We're in Genesis 9, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 6 today. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at two concepts, Lord willing. We're going to look at the blood and what the blood symbolizes and the idea that the life is in the blood. And we're also going to look at the idea of recompense or repayment. It's a principle that's throughout the Bible that God teaches us. So what I'm going to do is read this text verse. We'll take a break and then we'll go through. I just thought this in my head, like we're taking a break. We just started, but we usually do one little break. So I got to get that out of the way somewhere. Helps me kind of get organized. So what we'll do is we'll read this scripture, take a break, and we'll tackle these two very important topics. So Genesis 9, starting at verse 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. That's Genesis 9, 4 through 6, and we're going to tackle that when we come back from this break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today again, getting that early break in. It helps me get organized. I get a sip of my coffee here and I go through my notes, make sure I've got everything as needed. Here we are with Genesis 9, 4 through 6, talking about the life being in the blood. Amen. And so we see here a verse that we talked about, Leviticus, I think it was last episode. I said Deuteronomy, but out of Leviticus, we see in Leviticus 17, 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And so we see here God giving us very clear instructions, well, really giving the Israelites in the Old Testament here, very clear instructions that the life is in the blood and that he's given us this altar here and the blood to make an atonement for our souls, right? And that word atonement is very important because it deals with what Christ has done for us. And atonement, the definition would be a reparation for a wrong or an injury. It is a reparation for sin. Other Bible word would be reconciliation, right? The reconciliation of God and humankind through Jesus Christ. So the atonement, interestingly, is still argued by some, quote, theologians. I don't know what kind of Bible they're reading, but some people want to play a game like this isn't what Christ did. But the Bible is littered with examples that Christ surely died for our sins and shed his precious blood, and it is the blood that makes the payment for that sin, that gives that atonement. Amen. Hebrews 9, 20, verse 22, the writer of Hebrews writes, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Oftentimes you'll hear the preacher say, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so what this means is, in order to have forgiveness of sin, there has to be the shedding of blood. And you may be wondering, well, how come I can't shed my own blood for my own sin? Well, because you're sinful. So you are providing a improper sacrifice, right? And then the question may be first asked, why am I sinful? Well, it's nothing that you did in particular. It's that you're born here on earth. And everyone that's born here on earth has a sin curse passed down to them from generation to generation. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, amen, they then hereditarily, if you will, if that's a word, passed on the sin curse from generation to generation. I always use this simple example. I go to the doctor for allergies. I have terrible allergies. They emerged later on in my life out of nowhere. and they're horrible. I'm allergic to everything, okay? Food, I'm allergic to weather, I'm allergic to like all everything, right? Well, people, the doctors will first ask as they kind of try to make a diagnosis, as they make a prognosis, as they do their forensic investigation, they'll say, do your parents have allergies? Are your parents allergic? And on my dad's side, yes. Mom's side, no. Well, why do they want to know about my parents? Because oftentimes disease can be hereditary, can be the same thing with all kinds of diseases, can also be with addiction like alcoholism. It could run in the family. Well, sin is hereditary, passed down from generation to generation, and everyone has sin in their lives. Everyone is in the flesh. People that say they have no sin, the Bible says they are lying to themselves. They're deceiving themselves. And that's a very dangerous thing, because if you don't think you're sinful, then you don't think you need a savior, and you go down that slope. It becomes a slippery slope. Next thing you know, you're burning in hell because you never could bring yourself to a point of realizing your need for Jesus. And you hear someone that's brought very low in a testimony, oftentimes the reason why is God had to bring them low so that they realized who they really are and their need for a savior. That was certainly my case. I had to be brought very, very low for me to realize I'm nothing and nobody, and I'm sinful and I need a savior. So if we know that we can't save ourselves, we can't shed our own blood because we would be an improper sacrifice. We're sinful because we are from Adam and Eve. And then who is it that could die for us if not Jesus Christ? John 1:29 is a great example of this. The next day, John, this is John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. See, Jesus is referred to here as the Lamb of God. And while that may sound cute or nice, that actually means he is the perfect sinless sacrifice. And you say, Brother Clark, Jesus was in human form. Yes, but he was born of a virgin. Amen. His father is God. Amen. The earthly dad in the picture, Joseph, didn't conceive him. He was born of a virgin. He's born of Mary. He was both fully man and fully God. All in all, and I've heard great preaching on this. It gets into like, oh man, crazy deep stuff about like DNA and blood count and all these things. It's suffice to say that Jesus Christ was and is the perfect sacrifice for all humanity. And that is how we get to this idea here that's mentioned in Genesis 9, that in the blood there is life. Amen. And we see here in Genesis 9 that it says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. And so God has, he has a standard that we have to meet. And if we don't meet that standard, we need a substitute. We need someone that could come in and meet it for us. Amen. And a perfect example, a simple one, it's like if one of my kids, you know, and I don't tell them this, by the way, they probably aren't listening to the program unless I sit them down and make them, but you know, if they were in debt, let's say, I'll think of our oldest, Kobe. He's a teenager and, you know, he lost his wallet recently at church. You know, I said, God's trying to get you to spend a little more time in church because he looked for that wallet. You know what? Let's say he owed $1,000 and let's say he didn't have $1,000. You know, me being a preacher, I'd have to scrape to find that. If he owed $1,000 and he was in jail and he couldn't get out of jail. In fact, they said, look, you're going to have to die because you owe this money. And by the way, at some points in certain times, I think the death penalty was applied to people that owed money. But either way, he owed money. I step in and I say, I'm giving this $1,000 on his behalf. I'm paying his debt. Now, what did he do for me to pay it? Nothing. Now, you want to get further into this example. What if I knocked on his little cell door and said, son, I'm willing to pay the debt if you'll just receive this gift. Now he has a choice. So he could believe me and say yes, or he could not believe me and say no. But if he believed me and said yes, then I'd pay the debt and he's released from jail and everything is perfect. He doesn't have to die. Well, when Christ died on the cross at Calvary for our sins, he paid the sin debt for mankind for past, present, and future, for all time at that one time. And it's already been done. And whosoever believeth on him, amen, shall be saved. And what we're believing on is that shed blood. And that's why I preached the message one time about how it's difficult to realize our sin nature. And that often stands in the way of salvation. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a very difficult verse to chew on, to think, no, it's not someone else that's a sinner, it's you. I remember the first time in a fundamental church many years ago, sitting in there, listening to the preacher just rear back and let it rip, amen. And he was red-faced and spit was coming out. And I think he had to pull up his pants a few times. I mean, he was getting after it. And I thought, man, there must be some really wicked people in here. Glad it's not me. Glad I'm good. You know how long it took? It probably took years of that style of preaching to get through this hard heart, to get through this stubborn mind, amen, for me to realize, no, that's me. I'm a sinner. I'm the one that needs a savior. I have fallen short. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And once you have that mentality about you, then I believe you are prime time, ready to be saved and secured forever with Christ. Amen. But until we get to that point where we realize our need, it's difficult to be saved because we're accepting a sacrifice that we don't fully comprehend or we don't even believe. And the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. That's Hebrews 11:6. Romans 5:9-11. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we're justified by what? By the blood. By the blood of who? Christ. This is verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Romans 5:9-11. That's why we believe in the substitutionary death, the atonement. Don't ever let anyone in a church house or any kind of religious environment or anywhere in particular at all tell you that Christ didn't die for your sins by the shedding of his blood. In fact, conversely, if you're in a church house and you hear some mishmash of doctrine out of the New Testament, out of the teachings of Jesus, and some kind of works-based salvation, ask them about the blood, amen. Ask them, why did you take out the blood? Why are you removing the blood? It is by the blood that we are saved, amen. Man, I wish I had more time. I would get after it right now. I promise you, because I love preaching about Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross at Calvary, amen. He died for our sins so that we could be saved. It's so good. It like I said, I really have to pause to move past this. But the other part of this is recompense, God's principle of repayment. And so we see here in Genesis 9, verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And so God has this principle of recompense. If you're doing something, he's going to repay you with what you're doing. There's many examples of this throughout the Bible. Amen. One that I just came to mind was when Judas betrays Jesus in Matthew 26:23-25. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And so we see in this fascinating encounter that Judas is betraying Jesus. And what happens to Judas? He hangs himself. He murders himself because he had betrayed the Christ. And it's not just betraying the Christ. Throughout scripture, those that wish to do evil are repaid with that evil. And there's many examples I could give. A great one is out of the book of Esther, chapter 7, verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Who was Haman? He was one of the king's men. He hated the Jewish person Mordecai, who was the cousin of Esther, who had become queen, and they were going to try to kill all the Jews, including Mordecai. The king gets wind of this through Esther, and the king is furious, and Haman, this evil worker for the king, ends up being hanged on the same gallows he had prepared to kill Mordecai with. And so he was repaid for his wickedness, recompense, through, and he didn't even have to shed that blood. He just desired to shed the blood, and God repaid him through his own device of death. Many examples there of recompense. For time's sake, we have to wrap up. We'll get deeper into Genesis 9 when we return next time. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.